Well, thank you, Sam, for the welcome. It's good to be back with you again during fellowship in somewhat different ways as what we enjoyed before, spread out and spread around and so on. But it's good to be here and with you again in a new fellowship. Now we're going to turn this evening in the Word of God to the book of the Revelation. First of all, keep your Bible handy. As we go through things, we will indeed turn to different portions of the Word of God. So the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and I often say when I turn to the book of Revelation, it is not the book of Revelations. It is not the revelation of John or revelation of John the Divine or any of those things. Chapter 1 and verse 1 makes it abundantly plain it is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a single revelation, and it's His and nobody else's. But we're breaking into it this evening. I won't take time to read the whole of the 13th chapter. And of course, this morning, I said I was going to look at things. Where is this world going? New normal, what does it mean? And where's it going to be? And what will it end up as? And all of those things. But first of all, let's read this chapter together this evening. Chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Of course, the sea is the multitude of people out of which Antichrist will come, and saw a beast, and that's the Antichrist, rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And keep that before you, if time permits, we'll try and deal with it. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, of course, the dragon's a devil, give him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads, now note the words, as it were wounded. Not that it was wounded, as if it was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And of course, this Antichrist, when he comes, there'll be a false resurrection. He'll be mimicking the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's only, if you like, a conjurer's trick. Verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? And note that phrase. And look at verse 5 and note this. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. He'll have a great mouth. And power was given unto him to continue. Note the period, 40 and 2 months, 3.5 years. He's mimicking the Lord. How long did the Lord's ministry last? 42 months, 3.5 years. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. And them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, note that we'll have to explain what that means, so keep it in the back of your mind. To make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. And note that. All will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Tonight, if you're not saved, you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, or to keep evangelical jargon out of it, there's never been a time in your experience when you've bowed your knee and you've asked God for salvation, you've asked God for mercy, you've never simply cried, Lord, save me. Your name's not in the book of Lamb's book of life tonight. It's in the book of life because you're living. But it's not in the Lamb's book of life because you've never trusted him. The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ, went to Calvary's cross and paid the price for sin and died in your place and died in mine. And tonight all you have to do is ask him for so great salvation. It's my prayer tonight that you will trust him. And you'll not face the things that I'm about to speak about this evening. Verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear.
He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. So we've seen the devil, the false god. We've seen the beast, the false Christ. And this third beast, of course, is the false prophet, who will be the false Holy Spirit. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound of us by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to what? To receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And note it. We'll come back to it later. And that no man might by or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the name, number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600. 66666. And amen, and God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, incorruptible, and inexhaustible word of truth. Now, before we would consider what is going to be quite a lot of ground, let's have a word of prayer together, please. Let's commit the meeting to prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence this evening. Lord, we so much to give thee thanks for. We thank thee for this day. We thank thee for health and strength to have enjoyed it. Amen. Thank thee for food in our bellies and raiment on our backs. We thank thee for the time remembering the Lord this morning. We thank thee for thy word this morning, the encouragement and the help that it is and the comfort. But now, Lord, we come to the proclamation of the gospel. And Lord, we confess we need thy help. Lord, we need the Spirit of God to come. We need help for the preacher for clarity of thought and clarity of speech and to bring the things given in the quiet place to remembrance. Lord, for the listener tonight, both here in the hall and further afield on the internet, Lord, that you'd give us a listening ear. Set aside the things of the day that have gone. Set aside the things of tomorrow. And help us to hear the voice of God. O Lord, across this world tonight, if any that hear are not saved, Lord, well then let them have an ear to hear and let them turn and trust the Saviour, hear the voice of God and respond and cry, what must I do for so great salvation? What we pray for here, we pray wherever there's a true herald of the cross this night. For men are faithful to the book and faithful to the blood. We pray, Lord, that you'll use them. And tonight there are many new names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And great glory and honour will be brought to the Saviour's name in whom we pray. Meet the needs and glorify Christ. Amen. And amen. We truly live in momentous days. They are days of moral decline. The world is bankrupt in economic trouble. It was bankrupt before COVID, never mind now. We live in days of a lack of discipline, a days of a lack of respect for authority. Days when it's really all about me. Me, me, me. And what me can get out of it. When you look back at the early months of this year, you had fires of an unprecedented scale in Australia. Locusts devoured the crops of East Africa. We had floods of great significance.
with an increase in number of earthquakes, to name but a few. Setting the obvious things aside, scientists are worried about the decreasing force of the Earth's magnetic field. And it's decreasing apparently at such an alarming rate that the significance of loss of the magnetic field and the magnetic force will have, and whether it impacts on gravity or not, I'm not a scientist, I don't know, but they're concerned about the decrease in the magnetic field. And rather than global warming, some are now starting to turn away from it. And some are afraid. If you cast your mind back to the 80s, those of us are old enough to remember that they were worried about a minor ice age. And then the global warming thing cropped up, but now they're starting to go back to the global from global warming to the mini ice age. And it's strange for me, Greta Thunberg or whatever her name is, has disappeared off the face of the planet. Never heard of now. And of course, as we understand this world, it has changed so much in the last 5 or 6 months since I was here. Last, I know there's bookings cancelled in the middle because of the virus, but the world has changed because of this pestilence, COVID-19. People are worried. People are concerned, and we've got this phrase, the new normal. But what is the new normal? And more important, where is it ultimately going to go? And you hear people talking about a new world order and a new order of the world and all the rest of it. What does all of this mean? And where's it going? Well, the first things I want to do tonight are to bring us to the scriptures and see what God says. Never mind what man says. Never mind what a scientist says. What does this book say? And I want to see what all of these things mean. Of course, the timing tonight, the next great event in God's calendar, God's prophetic calendar, is the rapture of the church, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me clarify simply, first of all. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ takes part in two stages. Firstly, he will return to the air. And in the twinkling of an eye, as Nicholson used to say, half a wink, half of that, those who have trusted him as their Saviour will be rising to meet him in the air. Those who have bowed their knee, realise that in God's sight they're filthy in their sin, realising that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they've bowed their knee and cried for God's so great salvation. And it didn't have to be a fancy, eloquent prayer, because I don't have fancy, eloquent words, and I can just cry, Lord, save me, a sinner. And if you've done that, the first stage of his return, when he comes, will be to receive his own unto there, and you'll go with him. But if you're not, and you're still in that sin, and I believe tonight he could come at any moment, and if he was to come just right now before I finish this sentence, you'll be left behind. That's the first stage. Sometime after that, and we're not told how long it will be, could be a few hours, few days, few weeks, few months, a few years, 20, 30 years, I don't know. I tend to believe on the shorter time scale. But the Antichrist will rise and he'll make a peace treaty in the Middle East, which will bring him to the fore. But when he signs that peace treaty in the Middle East, and it's interesting, people this week are talking about the treaty Trump has signed with United Arab Emirates and so on, and they're trying to make him out to be the Antichrist. Nonsense. It's with the whole region, and it's with Israel. But at that moment in time, that starts the tribulation period. 7 years, the like of which will never be seen on this earth. At the end of it, after the 21 judgments of the book of Revelation on the earth, the Lord Jesus will come at the climax of the Battle of Armageddon, and he will return to the earth, literally, on the Mount of Olives on the east of Jerusalem, from whence he went. He'll set up his millennial kingdom. So that is a rough outline of what God's timetable is for this world. But what's coming upon this world, I want to focus for that 7-year period,
which will happen upon our rapture to be with the Lord.
The first thing will be a one world government. Look at verse 7 if you have your Bible still open in Revelation 13 there. And it says in Revelation 13 and 7, regarding one world government, it was given unto him to make par with the saints and to overcome them. And par was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Here's this one world government. But before I deal with that, I want a point of clarification. I hear one say, Martin, you said the saints are going to be raptured and they're going to be taken. And here's the saints being troubled by Antichrist. How can that be? The answer is very simple. The Christians, or the believers, or the saints, to give some of our titles, will leave in the twinkling of an eye, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. So the Christian, the right question some will ask is, how are they still here? But the reality is, these saints in Revelation chapter 13 are not church-age saints. They're not from this dispensation of grace. The reality tonight is these saints will be those saved under the ministry of the two witnesses and the 144,000 evangelists. 144,000 evangelists. And therefore those saints who suffer at the hand of Antichrist in verse 7 here are those who get saved after the rapture of the church. But they will only be from among those who have never heard the gospel before. Tonight you have heard the gospel. You know your need of God's salvation. You know that you're in a sinner, that you are a sinner tonight. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and bled and died in your guilty room instead. You know all of that tonight. And I want to be honest and tell you that if you miss the rapture of the church, you cannot be saved. You will not be numbered among these saints. You say to me, that's harsh. Can you prove it? Well, of course I can. I wouldn't be standing saying something I can't prove from Scripture. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now keep your finger there in the book of Revelation for a moment, please. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I may have used this before, but I use it again. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. Look at the time, I'm only starting. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. There's his revelation. The revelation of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with his spirit, the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. There's his revelation and his ruination. The Lord's going to deal with him. Great to be on the victory side before it'll ever need to be fought. May not even be here for it. Verse 9. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Here's his demonization. And his lies. And his wonders. Verse 10. His revelation and his ruination and his demonization give way, and verse 10, you have with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. The deception of the perishing, and note the perishing, and if you're not saved tonight and you're there, that's you. Why? Because they rejected, or they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There's the rejection of the truth. And dear friend tonight, and I'm speaking to you a friend, and I'm speaking as a friend, and I'm speaking to you out of love tonight. You refuse to accept the truth. You're going to face this deceptive man, and look at verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The delusion tonight. You refuse to believe and receive the truth of the gospel now when you have opportunity. Tragically, in that day, you'll believe the delusion. Or you'll receive the delusion rather that you'll believe a lie. And look at the tragedy. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And there's the damnation. And I say to you out of a heart of love, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, because if you miss it, you'll have rejected the truth and you'll receive delusion that you'll believe a lie and you can't be saved. So you see who the saints of Revelation chapter 13 verse 7 are. You need to turn to Christ now. You need to come to the Lord. In Isaiah 55 and 6 it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Come tonight while he can be found and while he's near. So that's the clarification of this one world government. Who can be saved and who can't. But I want you to see this globalisation. We live in a day when there's a great drive to unify people and nations. We have the obvious European Union. And of course the uproar that it caused when Britain said we're leaving. Moving away from this globalisation. But we have this globalisation push. You have the European Union of the 27 countries that are less. But there are less well-known unions, trading unions. Russia, with Latvia and Belarus and Lithuania and those sort of places, among others, and some others in Africa. So there is this push for a globalisation, and they're pushing towards one world government and one world leader. During the economic crisis of 2008, one world religious leader said, now this is a religious leader, the invisible Christ is not enough for us. We need a leader that we can see. What sort of boy is that? I wouldn't want to be under his flock anyway. Under the famous speech of the Secretary of NATO, we do not want another committee. We have had enough of those already. We want a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people. Send us such a man. And be he God or be he devil, we will follow him. That's what they're crying out for. The leadership of this world. Want a man and they want a one world government. During the coronavirus crisis, when it was at its peak, Tony Blair or Tony Lair, whatever you want to call him, he asked for one world leader and one world body to control all governments to resolve this crisis, and he's probably talking about himself. Dear friends, this evening, I don't have time to take this further. There is a desire today to remove borders, and it's going to come. And there will be one world government, and you need to prepare and trust the Lord before it comes. Governmental realm, one world government. What about the presidential realm? One world leader. There are many places I could go to tonight. Keep your finger there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And come with my way back to the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 8, please. The 8th of the book of Daniel and verse 23. Daniel 8 and verse 23. And we'll read down to verse 25. And we're now looking at who this Antichrist will be, or not so much who he will be, because we don't know. If you ever find out, you're in trouble, you're too late. But want to see something about him. Daniel 8, verse 23, and it says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, now here it is, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. So he's going to be fierce, and he's going to be a brainy boy understanding the dark sentences. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. So he's going to be a powerful guy. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and shall practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper. Witchcraft is booming in these days, and it's going to be an explosion of it when he comes about. Look at this, he shall magnify himself in his own heart, in the self-magnification, self-glorification. And be peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. You see his person tonight. this one world leader, this Antichrist. In his person, we've seen in those verses we've just read that he will be a power, crazy, destructive, despicable, demonically inspired, hateful individual. You miss the return of the Lord Jesus Christ because you're not saved. You'll be here for him. And you need to flee tonight. See his person. You see his personality. Keep your finger there in Daniel. Go back to the verses. Hope you've still got your finger in 2 Thessalonians 2 a wee second. Back to 2 Thessalonians 2. And I just want to let the word of God speak for itself. I've already said some things, but let the word of God speak for itself. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. And we find in verse 2 that he's that man of sin. And we find in verse 3 he's the son of perdition. And we find in verse 8 he's the wicked one. And verse 9, after the working of Satan. And verse 9, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. And I don't need to go any further this evening. This is the one world leader during those 7 years. And you need to flee from him tonight. And you need to get to the cross and trust the Savior. You see his person. And you see his personality. His power. Daniel 8 and verse 23, we found that he was fierce and mighty. He's potentately powerful. Daniel 8 and 23, he understood the dark sentences. He's intellectually powerful. Revelation 13 and 5, we read that he has a mouth speaking great things. He's oratorically powerful. Revelation 13 and 4, who's able to make war with him? He's militarily powerful. He makes peace in the Middle East. He's politically powerful. He's economically powerful because Daniel 11:43 tells us he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and commercially powerful. He's 666. This is the coming Superman who the world is crying out for, to whom the Lord is looking to. And you need to flee from tonight because you'd be called to worship him tonight. Oh yes, you've got his person and his personality and his power. His praise. Go back to the book of Daniel if your finger's still in there. And turn with me to the 11th chapter, please. Daniel 11 and verse 36. We've already seen that he's going to magnify himself against God and the King of Kings. And he's going to stand against the Prince of Princes and all of those things we've already read. Look at Daniel 11 and 36. And the king shall do according to his will. And he, what, shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvellous things against the God of gods. You see what this man is? In the self-exaltation, magnification, and all will be compelled to worship him, as we've already seen together this evening in the Revelation 13 and 4. Not only his praise, look at his proclamations. Turn back to Daniel 7, a couple of pages there. Daniel 7 and verse 25. Daniel 7 and verse 25. It says, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think the times and laws. Changing of laws. Everything's heading the way of the Sodomite tonight. Biden gets in America, there'll be abortion up to the point of death, and they're trying to bring it in here, and so on. These are the days in which we live. And this boy comes about, he'll change not only laws, he'll change times. Christmas will be changed to celebrate his birthday. Easter will be changed to the date of his so-called false resurrection. The Jews will be forced to change Passover and Pentecost and tabernacles to his day. And he'll change moral laws. Daniel 11:37 makes it plain that there's no desire for women, and there'll be an even bigger push towards sodomy than what we have already. No other worship of him, any worship other than him will not be permitted. An increase in atheism, it says in Daniel 11, no regard for any god. And so I could go on tonight. This is where this world's heading at an alarming rate tonight. This is where this new world order, this new world is heading to, this new normal. But don't think this man will be without his problems just because he's a world superman. God will give him enough to keep him busy. Just think of what he has to deal with. Before he even comes to power, he's making peace in the Middle East. Nobody else is able to do it. And has been able to do it. Scripture tells us Jerusalem's a burdensome stone, and so it is. In Revelation chapter 6, you have the first of the 21 judgments of God. Revelation 6, you have war and famine and death and a great earthquake. The sun will be as black, and the moon as blood, among others. When you come to Revelation 8 and 9, hail and fire will destroy one third of the world's vegetation. One third. A fireball from heaven will mean that a third of the oceans are polluted. A third of the sun and the moon and the stars will be darkened. People will seek death for 5 months and not be able to find it to escape. Revelation chapter 6, we find 1 in 4 people will die. Now watch it. 1 in 4 are going to die. Keep it in your mind. We're now down to 3/4. Revelation 6, 1 and 1/4 will die, but in Revelation 9 and 18, 1 in 3 will die. We've already lost 1 in 4. We come to Revelation 9 and 18. 1 in 3 remain. 50% of the people that miss the rapture of the church will perish in those 7 years under God's judgments upon the earth. And that will not be then finished, because then they'll have to go to the great white throne judgment to face their personal judgment. Revelation 16, the seas and the fresh waters turn to blood. And so we could go on tonight. Add in the hyperinflation of Revelation 6, where a man's work for a day gets him 1 meal. Your wages for a day's work is 1 meal. How do you feed a family on that? And these are the days that are coming. And the horror of what this man has to deal with. He's got his problems. We read in Revelation 13 and verse 8 about this period. And there was given unto, or Revelation 13 and 5 rather, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue for it in 2 months. He ruled for 7 years. But absolutely for only 3.5 of it. 42 months. The devil's mimic. And I've already said the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry was 3.5 years, 42 months. But this man's perdition. You see, we see his utter defeat. His total ruin. An ultimate defeat at the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away back with me to Revelation chapter 19, please. Revelation 19, and I'm just trying to let the scripture speak for itself as much as I can. Revelation 19 and verse 19. Revelation 19 and 19 and 20. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, that's the Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. The first two into the lake of fire for all eternity are the Antichrist and the false prophet. And tonight, if you're following the devil, and he'll follow them in too, ultimately, 1,000 years later. Friends, tonight you're on the beaten side. And you need to flee and come to Christ. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ himself to save you from your sin. And cry, Lord, save me, a sinner. When you write down to chapter 20, verse 15. Not only will the beast and the false prophet, and the devil goes in there in verse 10. Look at Revelation 20, verse 10, just to back up what I'm saying. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Not where they're still there, intact 1,000 years on. But look at the tragedy in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Sir, madam, tonight you missed the rapture of the church. Young person, you miss the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the air because you've never been saved. You've never cried unto him, Lord, save me a sinner. Then it breaks my heart, but I have to be faithful unto you and will warn you that that will be your latter end in that lake of fire for eternity. Flee tonight and come and call on his name. Now I must leave that. Governmental realm, one world government. Presidential realm, one world leader. The spiritual realm, one world religion. Revelation 13 and verse 8. We read it together. Revelation 13 and verse 8. And it says, and all that shall dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All going to worship him. You've already seen from the book of Daniel that Antichrist will not permit anyone or worship of anyone other than himself. Revelation 13 and 12, and it says, he exerciseth all power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, the obvious question. Martin, that all sounds pie in the sky. One world religion. In these post-coronavirus days, how realistic is it for a one world religion? Well, let me quote you a couple of things. On the 18th of February 2020, that's the 18th of February, about a month before lockdown started, it says, on the 14th of May, that was the 14th of May past, the Vatican will be hosting a major educational event to advance the Pope's global vision of a one world religion. The Pope's global vision. That was to happen on the 14th of May. This day just so happens to take place on the 72nd Independence Day of the State of Israel, which, according to one rabbi, is fitting since Judaism is the last bastion entirely incompatible with a new world order and a new world religion. That's one quote. I also quote from Cornelia R. Ferreira, if I pronounced his name right. Forgive me if I haven't. It says, one of the long-standing goals of the Masonic New World Order, now note who's behind it, the Masonic. The long-standing goals of the Masonic New World Order seems finally to be within its grasp. It's one world church in the making for over 150 years is about to become institutionalized as a United Religions Organization, the UR. Collaborating on the details are Bishop William Swing of the Episcopal Diocese of California, the Communist Gorbachev Foundation, and certain religious leaders of the Catholic Church working through the interreligious organization known as the World Conference on Religion and Peace. And then Arif went on to say, regarding the previous meeting they had, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, prayers, chants, and incantations were offered to a dozen deities. Brothers and sisters, unsaved person tonight, it seems to me that this religion that tolerates the worship of any so-called God, but allegiance primarily given to Antichrist, is well underway. I don't have time to undertake an exposition of Revelation 17 tonight, which sets these things out. But it will be a system that tolerates sexual immorality here in chapter 13 or so. Turn over to Revelation 17. I'll just go down it very, very quickly. I'm not going to develop it in any way. But 17 and 2. It'll tolerate sexual immorality with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Its base will be in Rome. You read down to verse 9 and you'll find there it says the seven heads and seven mountains and whence the woman sitteth. And anybody who went to school knows that the city of seven hills is Rome. No Armagh, seven hills, but you don't find Armagh in the scriptures. Everybody knows. And you add in that Rome already has a perverted apostate religious system based on the many waters of verse 1 And the confirmation is found in verse 15, where it says, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." And it's likely to be based there, and of course we see in verse 3 that she is in league with the beast. Revelation 17 and verse 3 says, "He carried me away in the spirit unto the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet coloured beast full of names and blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And bear in mind what we saw in Revelation 13 and 1, that Antichrist had 7 heads and 10 horns. And I can't take this one world religion further. Suffice to say tonight that Antichrist will finally ultimately be done with it, reserving all worship for himself, because in verse 16 it tells us, "In the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, thee shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." But make no mistake, friends, tonight,
as the world looks for one world leader, which they will get, and they're planning for one world government,
they're planning for one world religion, and that world religion will worship Antichrist, and you, if you're still here, will be compelled to do so. And I plead with you tonight to flee from it and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Governmental one world government, presidential one world leader, spiritual one world religion, and finally, financial one world currency. You read in chapter 13, verse 16 to 18, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, and free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had a mark with the name of the beast, the number of his name." And we saw it was 600, 666, 666. The world's leaders have long sought to do away with cash. Speaking for someone who worked in the cash industry for about 35 years, I know a little bit about it. Going back to the crisis of the first part of the new century, back in the 9th of October 2009, less than 11 years ago, Glenn Beck said this: "One world currency and one world financial system is the end game." China said last week, so that's somewhere between the 2nd and the 9th of October 2009, China said last week they want one global economy, and France said yesterday they want one world order. It's ironic that it's China, isn't it, after what's going on at the moment? There you have it. At the March 2009 G20 summit, Gordon Brown, our then Prime Minister, he wanted a global New Deal whose impact can stretch from the finance houses of New York and London to the villages of Africa. And he found support from Angela Merkel, still the Chancellor of Germany, a new institution taking responsibility for global financial mechanisms. They weren't rid of cash. Now the obvious question is why? Well, globalists believe it is better to have only one market. And globalists believe you're less likely to go to war with a partner. And having worked in the industry, I know how expensive it is to print cash, to secure it, transport it, to destroy it and all that's involved with it, and to track it. But not so with digital transactions, because digital transactions can be traced. But if you've no cash, you've no black market. To put that in terms that we can all understand, the American government believes that if there is no such thing as cash, there would be no shady dealings and things bought with illicit cash and so on, that the tax man doesn't get his cut off. If they can do away with cash, the IRS, the Inland Revenue Service, the income tax people of America, will have somewhere between $200 and $300 billion more a year to spend on healthcare or whatever they want to spend it on. And of course the card played during coronavirus and pandemic is that cash is dirty and transmits disease, and that's a load of nonsense. But there you are, it's more to touch a keypad's more likely to get it than the other things. So what's needed to make this cash, this society happen? To do away with cash, there has to be some sort of technology that would make it happen. Does the world have a computer that's big enough to make a cashless society happen? The answer is it's wee buns for them. The 26th of May 2008, the Roadrunner computer was revealed. And the Roadrunner computer broke a sort of a landmark milestone when it completed a petaflop. Sounds like something from the Olympics, doesn't it? But to put that into simple language, a petaflop is 1 quadrillion transactions per second. 1 quadrillion per second. Now, what does that mean? In simplistic terms, that's 150,000 transactions per second for every man, woman, and child in the world. All 7.8 billion of us. Probably takes that for Davy to manage his accounts, but for the rest of us, no. That was 2008. Come forward to the 14th of June 2012, less than 4 years later. The National Nuclear Security Administration replaced Roadrunner with something much more powerful, the Sakura computer. And it didn't do 1 petaflop per second. It did 20 petaflops per second. That's not 150,000 transactions. That's 3 million. So it can deal with Bert's transactions. 3 million transactions every second for every man, woman, and child on the planet. That was 2012. Come forward to 2018 and it's slow. Because by 2018, the fastest computer in the world is the Summit in America. And it's capable of not 1 or 20 petaflops, but 143.5 petaflops per second, which is 21,525,000 transactions for every single person on this planet. So has man got the technology to make this thing happen? Of course he does. All he needs is a man with a clout to make it happen. And he's going to get it. But not only does it take a computer, it takes compliance. You see, for that computer to work, every man, woman and child has to talk to it. The Mark of the Beast, 666. That cannot happen. Well, we've chipped our dogs and our cats for donkey's ears. But on the 8th of January 2015, Sweden started putting chips into volunteers' hands. And it's now inserted thousands of them. And those that have them inserted in them via biotechnology can program through their phones, enables them to get entry into a gym and replaces train tickets. They don't even need a key for their house. Gets them into entrance into secure places and many other things. And the Swedes have set the target that every individual in Sweden will have that chip by 2030, which is less than 10 years away. And if Antichrist comes, it'll be there a lot sooner than that. My friends, this evening, during the coronavirus pandemic, Benjamin Netanyahu, the leader of Israel, and of course Israel stands alone in this world, they're not globalists by any standard. But Benjamin Netanyahu considered putting sensors on their children to protect them and to trace them in this virus. And Israel's talking about putting them in children. And these aren't the only countries. Friends, you make no mistake tonight. These things are very possible. These things are definite. And these things will happen. Under one government, world government and one world leader. You need to repent. And be saved tonight. Technology. And instruction. Man, make no doubt, has the capability to make it all happen. He has the computer power. He has the ability to put a chip in you and me and every person in the world. And make no mistake tonight. It only needs someone with a clout to make it happen. And the man they're crying out for will make it happen. And if you miss the rapture, you'll be compelled to take that mark that you might buy and sell, but in the taking of it, you'll condemn your soul. You really want to be here for all of this tonight? I'm done. I've tried to show you where this world is headed. And where this world is headed is going to make the coronavirus look like a Sunday school party. And I won't be here for it, and praise the Lord. I'll not be here. But if you're not saved, you will be. And you need to flee tonight. Will you turn tonight? Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you simply cry, Lord, save me, and turn from your sin, and turn from him while you can? I trust that you will. Davey, will you close over our prayer, please?
Father, we bow before you this evening, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word before your word is truth. And a light on your feet, a lamp on your path. We thank you, Father, for the help that you've given our brother tonight. Where he has enlightened us on things to come. At times, Father, as we look round, we can see things that's happening, Lord. But what he has told us tonight, Father, is in thy word. It's the best news paper or newscaster than any of the TVs or anything that's going.
Amen.
Because it's true.
Amen.
Around the world, Father, there's fake news and all the other kind of news, Lord. But this is true. And Father, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us it saved, it is the power of God. Father, we know there's judgment coming.
Mm-hmm.
And we all should be part of it, but we're saved by thy grace and by thy mercy. The words to find, Lord, to thank you for that, Lord. We cannot find them. For you gave your son and you paid a price. And what price he paid.
Aye.
We're standing here and we're sitting here tonight. We're washed. Cleansing the blood.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Wash, sanctify, and justify. Not what we have done, but what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray, Father, tonight that those that would hear this word tonight would not be so foolish to just put it aside as rubbish. God is speaking to the people. Even through the virus, Lord,
mm-hmm.
He's speaking. Even when we see the things that's happening, even snow in Australia, Lord,
mm-hmm.
Things is happening. Don't reject it, we pray that souls may come to know thee as Lord and Saviour. The messenger has been sent. He's preached the word. It's up to the people, Lord, to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can know it. That's where, as far as we can go, we can pray it. And we can bring the word forth. But only the Lord can save. We pray, Father, none to be so foolish to reject tonight. Thank you for the help for our brother. Thank you for the challenge of thy word. Thank you, Father, that we're in the winning side.
Amen.
And we're waiting for that shout, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What a day that will be.
Amen.
When our Saviour we shall see.
Amen.
And so, Father, we give you thanks. Pray for Jonas and mercy for all that have to travel far. Take them to their homes and safely. Let nothing befall them on the way. And Father, bless them and undertake for them. We ask it in the name, to them every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that it's Lord.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.